Salutations, my friends, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of Factions of Freedom. I'm your host, Noizera, Freedom Faction, whichever one you prefer, and we have titled this one The Paranormal Perspective, Volume 1. And let me tell you, I am super, super excited to do this episode. Why? Because this is one of the main reasons as to why I started podcasting in general, is because I wanted to hear about other people's paranormal encounters, how people were seeing of some of this other strange stuff that's going on. So whenever I put out a post asking for people's stories, I definitely got them. And what this makes me think is that there's definitely more going on than we think. So this is definitely an episode inspired by you, the listeners, the viewers, the watchers, the readers, the people that are paying attention, the ones that responded to the call. And as I said, this is only volume one. We're going to be doing more of these because, first off, you're not crazy. Secondly, you're not alone. You're not the only person that's experiencing some of these strange things that are occurring. And while I could talk to you, you know, about how Donald Trump is up to something shady, how we haven't heard from Hillary Clinton for quite some time, or how we could talk about human-animal chimeras and anything strange like that, I think we're going to kind of try to dial it back a little bit to where we just, you know, talk about you, talk about what you've come in encounter with. And that's the beauty of this episode and its simplicity, is we actually will have people who have responded to the call letting things be heard. So with that being said, let's jump right into it. So as I said before, we have titled this one, The Paranormal Perspective, and there's not going to be a whole lot of graphics on it. There's not going to be a whole lot of videos playing and a whole lot of other things going on like that. But the idea behind the slides that I do have and the footage that you guys are seeing is so that you can see that we're still discovering things. We're still trying to figure out how certain things are working. So for us to figure out or say that we have the entire truth or know everything that's going on, it's insane. There's no way for that to be the case. But that's all I want to say real quick. So before we actually get into it, like I said, this is the volume one. I put up the post where people can actually submit some of their stories to volume two. So if you guys want to get on the actual part two of this series, where we go over your paranormal experiences, reply to it. Reply to either this episode, or send us an email, or find us on Instagram and Facebook and send us a personal message, and we'll try to get you guys on the show. We'll try to get these out there, because I wanted to have this be, if anything, a short video segment, but because we literally got swamped with the amount of stories that you guys were sending in, you know, I wanted to do it justice by dedicating an entire episode to, like I said, you, the listeners. And that's exactly what I have planned. But, you know, obviously right now I am ranting. So let's see, what can we get? Let's get started. The question was, what is the supernatural, or what is the paranormal and or the supernatural? Have you had any strange encounters or weird experiences? Let us know. And like I said, it's just that simple. You let us know. So with that being said, let's start with the first story. I've called this one Vibrating with UFOs, and it's from Igloo Jitsu, and it goes like this. I think that there is a star brighter than the others in the sky near my home, and a couple of months ago, I had convinced myself that it was a UFO. I remember entering into a lucid state while sleeping, and while in that state, I remember that I have experienced the ability to teleport to different places using my mind while in this lucid dreaming state. So I thought, quote, I want to teleport into that UFO near my home. Immediately after the thought, I began hearing, and this is in quotes, I began hearing frequencies that which began to get faster and faster. I left the thought, and then I started to dream about something else before waking up, but I swear it felt like I needed to concentrate on the frequencies to gain access to the UFO that I visited with my mind. And after that experience, you know, I try not to pay attention to the sky sometimes, Definitely not as confident with my abilities in the lucid dreaming state, but yeah, trippy stuff. I thought frequencies were important because, well, I know it is written before. And breakthroughs on DMT and the spirit molecule also talk about this. So this is the very first story, guys. And like I said, you can check these out. These are on the first post, and this is by Igloo Jitsu, and it's called Vibrating with UFOs. And the idea that I had behind it by putting this up there is because, well, I thought that was kind of strange. The idea that somebody could vibrate teleport into a UFO. You see. How many times have we heard about people doing astral travel, and we have a few stories for that as well, but people astral traveling and then teleporting and things like that, you see. So then this is the next one. And I got a few more after this, but here's the next one. It's called Believers and Beasts. Okay, and this one's kind of strange because it kind of shows the fact that not only could children have experiences, but people could correlate other stories. People could also encounter things and hear other strange things that are going on. But let me just get into it. So this is by Who's Zach, and it goes like this. Does anyone have the ability to switch lenses in their eyes to make them go from clear to blurry? I've been able to do it about since I was 5 or so, and when I do it, it always makes things that look like they're far away become close or nearby in vision. I have also had dreams of the devil in human form telling me, quote, nothing you do will matter. And when I tell people about my dreams, about my visions of the future, of war and apocalypse, they look at me strange. Another strange experience that I had is whenever my kids, who at the time were 3 and 2, had dreams of seeing gorillas with red eyes at their window. During this time, when we would still be up in the evening, they would wake up and start crying. But then one night, I and my girl heard a large and loud growling noise. It sounded like a lion. I thought maybe the TV was on, but we checked, and it wasn't. We then went and prayed over my kids, who they were, and why they proceeded to tell me that, indeed, a lion had come into their room and scared away the gorillas. Immediately, me and my girl both asked each other the same thing, if we could confirm hearing that loud roar before we had gone in to pray. I firmly believe that was an angel or God himself making his presence known and protecting my kids. So the idea behind this story is that we're hearing tales from 3 different angles, or at least 2 different angles. The tales, the story from the kids, the conflict that the actual lion and the gorilla could actually have had. And I mean, could this have been a Sasquatch-style creature? Could this have been some kind of Yeti? Could this have been anything of that nature? And what was the lion that they saw? What was this conflict? And why were they huddled around the children? The parents, totally unassuming, thought it was just the television. So maybe that should make you think a little bit twice. Maybe think a little bit more the next time your kid or your nephew, someone along those lines, they start to say certain things where they're seeing imaginary friends, or whenever they're seeing strange creatures dart across their room, or whenever they're seeing shadow figures appear from corners of their wall. These encounters, this phenomena that's occurring, you know, this is not a... We grow up already understanding that children see strange things. What happens whenever we discount them? You see, what happens whenever we don't show proper accreditation to some of the strange and paranormal things that are going on? And I have a story about that as well, and it gets kind of crazy and metaphysical, but I'll save that for later. And the next story I have for you guys, and this is a number of stories, if anything, three comments, really, that people kind of mentioned, and the idea behind it is that they're seeking meditation. And this is put up by 666 Black Sun 666. And he says, meditation for beginners will turn them into a light bulb, to which, like moths, they'll basically attract entities since their bodies are at a low frequency. Other lower vibrational entities will see them and then come to them, matching the vibrational frequency to where they resonate with the entities, and this occurs until the individual's vibration is lifted to a higher state. Once that realization occurs, then these experiences will stop, eventually. At least, that's how I've had my encounters when I started meditating, especially on LSD. Now, I won't be advocating for people to go and meditate on LSD, and his name being Lil Black Sun 666, but the points that he's trying to make, the idea that he's very well aware of lower vibrational entities actually being able to encounter us, and whenever we meditate, whenever we try to find peace, solace, and understanding within ourselves, we basically allow for portals to be opened. And this is why whenever people say meditation and yoga and things of these nature are considered demonic or at least esoteric and magic, is because, yes, indeed, you do actually open up yourself coming into contact with these spirits. So the next story that we have, and these names, you know, they're hilarious, but these, like I said, were some of the greater, the more interesting stories that we got. This comes from Poker of Smot. I have seen plenty of, quote, stars bouncing around and darting off. I've also been haunted by the same ghost for 3 years now. It moved across country with me, the same occurrences, every place I've lived at. He's my friend these days, though. I've also seen my cat teleport. And I've also witnessed everything in front of me switch to being textured, like TV static. Lots of wacky stuff. On and off drugs. You see. So the idea behind sharing that simple story is the fact that most people, whenever they, and the reason he has this put in stars, he has the word star put in quotations, the same way that Igloo Jitsu has his name, his definition of star put in quotations as well. And the reason why I think they do this is simply because they're trying to say that, well, they're not sure what these objects in space are, but they're able to notice that they are actually moving, that they're animated. This comes from Team Heaven's Finest. And he just drops in to say something real quick. And he says, both angelic and demonic. It will happen randomly, sometimes in your dreams, sometimes when your eyes are open, or even whenever your eyes are closed, etc. My God, I have so many stories, and I'm sure I'm not alone in this. I'm 1,000% sure. But yes, man, the spiritual world, the supernatural world, is super real. And that's what I'm trying to say. And the reason why I put in simple things like that is to show you guys that, yes, there are other people that do actually believe in what's going on, that they've had their own encounters, that they've had some strange things happen in their life that they can't really account for. One such story is from this man named Jut Lamutt. And this goes all the way back to 1995. And this is part of a section of stories that I'm going to call Lifelong Experiences. And Jut Lamutt's story goes like this. Yes, I was in Trivandrum, Kerala, India, in 1995. It was 5:30 a.m. and the sunrise was about to happen. Sitting with a mate of mine, talking, etc., the jungle was waking up, so the animals were becoming very noisy, and then, all of a sudden, a total deafening silence took place. Local stray dogs ran just behind me and my mate, and pointed, like dogs do. I turned around. There was, about 25 yards away, an oblong, white, 8 feet tall, 4 foot wide luminescence. As I fixated my eyes on it, it moved horizontally, leaving a trail like a fireworks sparkler. It then accelerated directly up into the sky, and then it stayed directly over us, and then vanished. Immediately, The jungle was normal, and the dogs became relaxed. It's as if the encounter never happened. So whenever, and I'll try to get into this as well later on in the actual episode, whether or not these lights that people say they're encountering, this luminescence that they're able to see, whether or not this is actually a UFO, and we have to define what a UFO could be, nuts and bolts, or if it's a spirit, or if it's an interdimensional entity, or and so forth, things like that. But the idea behind it is that these things are conscious. These balls of light, these stars, this luminescence, you see, these things are conscious and they're interacting with us. The story goes on to say that during this time, all the electricity, including my stereo player, came back on. The electricity went off when the jungle was quiet. Five friends saw the same thing about a half hour prior, 3 miles away. So let's think about that. He's talking stereo player, so obviously this is a little bit, it's appropriate. 1995, stereo players, that's appropriate. But one of the things that he mentioned in the story is the idea that electricity shut off. That there was a deafening silence prior to encountering this light. And the idea behind that, if you ask me, is that we're seeing, and what's crazy is if you see other reports or you hear other people talk about their encounters with UFOs or these interdimensional beings or demons and things like that, they say that there is a deafening silence that occurred. It's as if they were whisked out of their dimension, taken out of some place. And then during that time, they had only a window period to where they dealt with whatever that was, that luminescence. You see. So the story, and this is why I say lifelong experiences, because he goes on to say in the story, and this is what's crazy, what's even wilder is in the same trip, I had a spirit, I don't know, try and kind of get me. 40 degree heat in the Indian summer. Sitting alone in my room a few times, then suddenly ice and freezing fog around me. Then something passed right through me. My girlfriend witnessed this too, and believed me afterwards. On my way home, on my way to the airport, the same thing happened in our taxi, and the taxi broke down. I told whatever it was quietly that I'm going home. You're not coming with me. People love me. I'm not scared, and I'll fight you until I die. Suddenly, the taxi started, and I was on my way. Now, I'm not agnostic. I'm saying, I'm not crazy. This happened. Then it happened to me as a kid. A lot. If it was a spirit or a ghost, I'm not sure. But it used to visit me at night when it was dead late. Maybe around 3 a.m. Who knows? I would suddenly find myself awake, sitting on the top of our landing with the mist from before. And again, in the hallway, but not cold. I'd want to get back to bed, but I would have to sit with my head in my lamp. In my lap with my arms and try not to look at it. Try not to look at whatever was keeping me company. Then they would go and I would go back to bed. But I could never remember how I got to the top of those stairs. This happened to me about 2 to 3 times a week when I was 5. It became normal for me. It became normal for him to find himself atop stairs. It became normal for him to be visited by something otherworldly. That's wild. While he's also talking about how something's passing through him in a taxi that's shutting it down, like I said, the idea that whatever these entities or these energies are, they're able to interact or they're able to mess with our electromagnetic orientation or whatever we have going on. I mean, what happens in UFO abduction stories? People talk about all kinds of weird malfunctions that occur with their equipment. You see. And if this guy's in a taxi that's shut down, seeing and having things pass through him, obviously this energy, this spirit, this thing is maybe not attached to him, but familiar with his essence. You see. And that's what we have going on. Not, and this isn't something recent. This didn't happen last week. This happened back in 1995. I was three back in 1995. I was three when this occurred. And I'm sure this is one of those stories that, you know, he probably told your friends, that you tell everybody, those crazy stories that you tell anyone. So moving on to another story. This comes by Lady Pink Mota. And she says, I have so many stories to tell. My entire life is supernatural from the moment I can remember to beyond. I can't choose, but I'll just get by with the most recent incident. So before I actually get into Miss Mota's story, we hear that a lot. I feel like I hear that a lot. A lot of people think that their entire lives are supernatural and that they are paranormal. That the supernatural is normal, or that, you know, the paranormal is normal. We've been consistently lied to where we don't think that this right here, where you're seeing the Kundalini energy, the video play, and yes, I know that it's from the Tool music video, but it's a great description of what's going on. It's a perfect adaptation of what's happened. We are cosmic energy, and we are just the vessels. But whenever we remove ourselves from the source, whenever we remove ourselves from any ideology or any kind of thing that can't be, you know, quantified, categorized, or defined, you see, that's whenever we truly block ourselves off. We block ourselves off from how we can be, what we're capable of doing. Because it is 2017, and it is the beginning of a new consciousness. Because we're capable of so much more. So yes, the paranormal is normal. But let me get into this story. She says she'll choose the most recent one. And this is a few weeks ago. I woke up in the middle of the night with an odd pain at the back of my head. You know, where the pineal gland resides. And I said maybe that's possibly the occipital triangle. I'm not entirely sure of the area in which she was speaking of, but the story goes on to say that after I went to the bathroom, I was rubbing the back of my neck, and for some reason, I looked up into the closest mirror, and I saw a really tall shadow man, too big to be a regular human. He wasn't bulky, just bigger in body proportions, and I could tell he was wearing a suit with no hat, and he was staring at me with his head slightly tilted. It scared the shit out of me. It was the first time I could see a clear vision of him. Even though he was an all-black shadowy mass, he was still very much visual. To this day, even now, I still see him occasionally in the corner of my eyes. I get chills just typing this out because I can feel that he's not pleased with me spilling this out to the world about him. Oh well, I don't care. As long as I'm spreading the truth with the light and destroying the evil forces, deuces. Thank you, Lady Pink Mota. And one of the things that I'll try to get into with this, and this is great because whenever I put out this call, this wasn't just for one person. Like I said, other people experienced some of the strange things that were going on. You see. Other people have experienced some of these strange things as well, and have confirmed some of the things that are going on. And that's the whole point of, if anything, this entire series that we'll be doing, is to show other people that yes, indeed, you're not alone in these experiences. That yes, these things are happening not only to yourself, but to other people. And right here, one of the replies that we got, or actually one of the replies that Lady Mota got, was from March on Washington, D.C., where they say, hey, got the chills just reading it. I had to summon my own inner power to kill the chills. I've dealt with a few couple random beings myself. I've even seen UFOs and woken up to an all-white being with glowing white eyes. One time in my old room, I responded the same way. I summoned my righteousness. So it seems like, and we'll get into that trend later on in the actual episode as well, the idea that people are actually encountering these energies, and that they are, I don't want to say getting stronger, but that they are somewhat diversifying their tactics, but at the same time there's some similarities. And in the next story, because this is all underneath lifelong experiences, you know, the idea that this person is used to the idea of coming into contact with some of these lower vibrational entities and having to summon his righteousness. And for other people, you know, it is summoning the power of Jesus Christ and rebuking them in the Lord's name. For some people, like exorcists, it is declaring your righteousness, declaring your authority. And there's a lot of different ways as far as how to deal with these otherworldly entities. As I said before, there is no particular one way, as they are all effective. But with the next story, and this is I feel like it's a great story. And it's from Irie Frank. Or Irie Frankie, and it goes like this. I've had many since I was a child. I am 37 now, and just had another a few nights ago, where I was held down by an entity, then rebuked it in God's name. I watched it leave my room. I've seen spirits, had premonitions, dreams, and visions often. I feel energy strongly from others, but I am still trying to understand it all. I'd say we all are. I'd say we're all trying to figure out what's going on. As a child, growing into my teens, I have experienced seeing hooded or cloaked figures hovering at my door. I've also seen my ancestors protect me when this occurs as well. I've been smothered, and this could possibly be examples of the sleeping hag syndrome, sleep paralysis. And if you look into any of that as well, you'll see some of the same things that Frankie's talking about. The idea that she feels smothered by other entities, that she feels held down, that she's literally not being played or oppressed, but she is actually having encounters with these negative entities, these lower vibrational entities. She's even been watched and even had my bed shaken so vigorously one night. She says it freaked her out. And the idea behind this is these are all evidences of the poltergeist, of interactions, like I say, with these energies. She goes on to say that it is strange in a spiritual world out there, but I have learned that the key to dealing with it is eliminating fear, because that's what they feed upon. That is what they feed upon. They, as the Black Sun person said at the start of this episode, when you match yourself vibrationally with these lower level vibrational entities, these demons, they'll stay plagued onto you until you get them off, until you figure out a way to deal with them. I mean, that's why they want to keep you in a state of perpetual fear. That's why we have a lot of the things going on as well, the scare tactics and the fear tactics that we have that are present in our own political system. But that's not what we're talking about right now. Energetically, that's what happens whenever we allow for these lower vibrational entities to remain in contact with us. Eventually, they begin to, exchange some of their energies. But moving on, one person also commented to Frankie as well, saying that you and I have almost had the exact same experiences since I was a boy. And then another person goes on to say to Frankie that I just started having premonitions with dark energy hovering over me, and I've also had my bed shaken in the past too. She goes on to say that I'm on this journey and everything is starting to make sense. Is there any advice? And the reason why I'm reading this particular story to you guys about what's going on is so that we can see that people are communicating about a larger agenda and a larger worldview that's going on. The fact that these people are having the same experiences from two totally different walks of life, that people are having these same experiences, that these things are going on, you see. And so one of the advices, or a piece of advice that Frankie gives, is I would say to make sure that you're always praying for protection, discernment, and the release of fear. So when these energies or entities are around you, you can recognize them by how they show up and if they have infringe upon your familiar energies. Once that's done, you can get rid of them. Plus, I do research, I watch documentaries, and I listen to Factions of Freedom. She didn't put that. She really didn't put that. I put that there. But we try to be informative here as well. But she did say that she reads case studies too, and just to be just more knowledgeable about the spiritual world in general. I stay true to my personal spiritual beliefs during this exploration as well. And I think that's great advice, because a lot of people these days, and we talked about this at the start of the show, a lot of people don't want to pray, a lot of people don't want to meditate, and you know, a lot of people don't know the potentiality of scalar waves, of the law of attraction, of creating your reality, of all the other spiritual practices that come into play whenever you're basically speaking things into existence, whenever you're allowing things that you're interacting with, you see. And what I'm trying to say is that whenever we talk about things like this, people being visited by spirits, by entities, by tall, shadowy figures, they rebuke them. They find the strength, they find the righteousness, they combat the fear, they expel all of the wickedness, and they use their strength to fight it out. Either the strength that they have, or the strength that their God has bestowed upon them, or the strength that they're calling upon from the universe, and then using it as an effective tool. You see, so Kishi and Frankie, the two women who are conversing about the spiritual world, she goes on to say that, "Thank you for the great advice. At 25, I'm embarking on this journey, and I'm scared to press further. I'm a very sensitive and empathic person, and so I don't know if mentally I can handle opening up my third eye. I would really like to, but I fear that I'll go too far. Things are beginning to line up for me, and it's so nice to know that other people are out here who have succeeded in this path." And so, as far as the third eye, the pineal gland, I think it's Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, where it talks about if your eye be single, and if your eye be filled with light, let your body be filled with light. The idea behind that is that the Bible is very much aware of the pineal gland, the idea that we are multidimensional creatures, that if we have three eyes, that we have our mind's eye. Whenever we show some type of fear towards this, whenever we show this kind of mindset of not wanting to delve inwards and being afraid of what we'll bring up, that leads credence to your third eye being dampened. And what I'm trying to say is that whenever you listen to some of the stories about ayahuasca, and this is why people up in Hollywood are doing it so much these days, but whenever you look at some of the tales of ayahuasca and other things that are going on, you start to begin to see that there's a larger spiritual worldview. And what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that ayahuasca reveals you to yourself, even the darkest parts of you, you see. And if we're afraid to go inside of ourselves to pull out the greatness, we don't deserve the diamond that is our soul, because it's through immense pressure that a diamond is created, and we have to go through these hardships first in order to have and appreciate these types of gifts that we do have to truly succeed down this path. How come ghosts come back? How come ghosts that come back are always old grannies? Slave ghosts, are they real? These are good questions, Diabro. These are definitely good questions. The reason why I'm answering this right now is because, you know, throw a wrench in there. Try something a little bit new. We are, as I said, doing a live episode, so we also have questions going on in our chat room. And one of the questions as well is, how come ghosts that make comebacks, how comes they're always old grannies? And this is because a lot of the ghosts that people see and the encounters that they have with those types of entities, those are considered familiar spirits. Those are considered entities in which come to you in a form that's familiar. That way you can entertain them. That way you can let them in, because the Bible also talks about that as well. You've got to have discernment. You've got to be able to test the spirits. I mean, what happens whenever you're in the presence of an angel, whenever you're in the presence of light? You see, you're not in fearful of light. You're not in fearful of justice and righteousness and glory. You bow down to it naturally because it is so powerful and because it is so awesome. But whenever you're engaging these things that are fearful and negative and evil, you see, you've got to realize the kind of mindset that you're allowing to come into you. So why do they appear as grannies, as old grannies? It's because it's to lower your discernment. It's to trick you. It's because you're not going to think, well, why would my granny come back? Why am I being visited by the spirit? Why am I coming in contact with this entity known as my grandmother? You see, so there's a whole lot of different things that come into contact whenever people have these things called familiar spirits. And I'm not talking about generational curses, which is another, those are two separate things entirely, but they could be synonymous with one another. So there's a whole lot that comes with people being able to interact with spirits. But that was a good question. That was definitely a good question, Diabro. Moving on, and this is another story or another quick experience. And this comes from Mysterious Guy 1111. And he says, yes, I have had some strange experiences. I've woken up in the middle of the night wondering why I look up at the bottom of my bed, only to become aware of a gray-colored male just ahead and shoulders looking at me. I reach for the light to quickly turn it on, and it already vanished. Another experience on another property that I was awakening to was a sparkling electric sound, which was sparking from the center outwards and about a foot across. I felt something was trying to materialize, but in fear I turned on my bedside lamp, but it blew away as I turned it on. When I reached across my wife to try her lamp as well, to turn that one on, the sparkling electric sound vanished. You see. So here we go again with the idea of what this man is trying to describe as a star, as a light, as a luminescence that we've been hearing throughout the entire episode. You see, the idea that something is coming into contact with people, and it doesn't have a body, it doesn't have a corpse. It's a light being. You see. And the next story that we're about to get into, if anything, and this is where things kind of get a little deep. This is where things kind of get a little deep, because we have to start looking at what comes into contact with us. How we're, it's wild. Guaranteed wild. So this story comes from Denise and Tom, and it goes like this. I've been seeing objects vibrating at different frequencies since I was 11. The sound and frequencies that I see are in the shape of circles emitting from the ground, almost like the shape of a heart. People have auras of light that follow them. I've noticed that animals, children, and some people who are loving, generous, and pure at heart are often followed by families of orbs of light. I have recorded some people and my dogs with orbs all around them. 3 years ago, when I started noticing the orbs, they looked like eyes and I couldn't hear them talking to me in my mind. They were talking about my son and how proud they were of everything his tiny body could do. He was part of their family, and they were his guides. And I was chosen by my son to be his mother. It was a powerful experience. I couldn't stop sobbing. I stayed up that night thinking how one day, eventually, it will all make sense. How it all makes sense. So let that resonate for you guys real quick. before I move on to my next story. The idea behind sharing that one, and this is why, you know, this is stuff you, I don't know, obviously she could have made this up, you know, obviously this could be fabrication, but whenever I'm reading that, whenever I read that story, it made me start thinking of a paradoxical statement of, well, who creates who? Did we create ourselves? You know, she said that her son chose her to be the mother. Her son could have been one of these balls of light that was visiting her beforehand. Her son could have been one of these entities that she was seeing that was trying to talk to her. You see, there's a number of different questions that we have to start asking when we start looking at this. The reason why I'm throwing it out there is because think about that for a second. Let's just let that marinate for a second. The idea that we could have, that we could incarnate ourselves, that we could be literally being delivered to our parents before we were even born. Our parents could have come into contact with some strange stuff and never told anyone about how you were born and the circumstances and in which you were born. You see, that's what gets me, is the idea that whenever we start talking about things like this, this is someone saying that, hey, I don't know how to tell you, but I think my son birthed himself and I was chosen to be the portal in between. That my son wanted to be born, he chose me as the mother, and that's what happened. And one of the stories that didn't actually make it onto this actual episode that I actually talked about in private with an individual was that, you know, the idea that she has a daughter, or she had a daughter, and before she had the daughter, her daughter was, before she had her daughter, she was saying how she was coming into contact with again some more of these stars, more of these luminescents, more of these orbs of light, these beings, whatever you want to call them. She was saying how before then, her and her husband were literally trying to play games of how would you put it? Games of just communicating with them, trying to send signals to these spirits, to these light beings. And it happened about 4 months before the child was born. Once the child was born, the lights went away. And so I told her, I think what's crazy is you're telling me the opposite story of what we're hearing on the other side. The fact that this lady's saying, oh, well, these orbs are telling me that my son is going to be born and that I'm being chosen to be the mother, while we're having another account of saying how, you see where I'm going with this? There is something going on with that phenomenon, and I'm not entirely sure, but these orbs of light that are either friendly or benevolent, because you would obviously be able to tell if they were malevolent, you would know if they were there to wish you harm, you see. And so that's what we have going on. This is what people are dealing with. This is what people are seeing, you see. So I have another story I kind of want to go into, and this one is a little bit wonky, but bear with me on it, because I think you guys will appreciate it, you see. And the reason, let me preface it one more way. And the reason why we share all of these great stories, guys, is to show and illustrate to you, you are not dealing with these things alone. There is a classification of spirits. There is a classification of demons, angels, entities, all these types of things. You see, this comes from Salvador Venom for Poetry. And it goes like this. I see orbs / spirits constantly. My big thing is that I can feel energy well. He says he does energy healing constantly. But I've never been able to see energies or auras, and he has C in quotations. And this is because, as we mentioned earlier, with the story from Denise and Tom, that they were able to see some of these energies in the shape of a heartbeat, that they were around people and the energy followed them and flowed with them, you see, until the last few recent years, and especially in the last few months. I had a crazy experience about 2 years ago with my boyfriend where we literally stumbled directly under a giant mothership. We were both sober, just going for a walk. It was around 10:30 p.m. It was a bunch of pink lights. They would zigzag in a snake-like pattern, slowly fade away like embers from a fire. Some of the pink lights on the ship looked like lights from the bottom of an airplane, too. And at first, we got closer and closer. Then my babe, her babe started getting freaked out. But I managed to walk right underneath it. And she has in parentheses, not all ET species are good. So I was cautious. But then this very high-pitched but low rumbling started. And I'm sure this is kind of like the vibration or the hums that are commonly associated with UFOs. And she says it's like a million trumpets in our eyes. We didn't even talk. We both just turned and hightailed it out of there because it literally felt like they were about to abduct us. But when we started running away, it stopped. Every time I tried to walk back, they would slowly fade away. But if I walked away after that, they would come back. Ever since then, I have had other crazy experiences. One such experience is when I was in meditation, closing my eyes in a bathtub chamber. Sounds like a sensory deprivation tank. And the way she talks about this, how the story continues, definitely makes me think that yes, she probably did have some kind of sensory encounter. She was doing a meditation in the bathtub, closing her eyes in the bathtub chamber, with flowers floating all around me, as if I soaked myself in oils. In that instance, a bunch of blues, and she has this in quotation marks, were around me. But they looked like indigenous people, mixed with aliens, like they were blessing or initiating me. I have also had encounters with demons, where they try to come bull me, you know, bully me, but I imagine them with fire, white fire on their body, and it makes them peace out real quick. I have also been practicing channeling lightly and have had some really amazing angelic spirits come to me. So why do I have this here? Why are we talking about how people are obviously coming into contact with multiple levels of entities? You know, the hierarchy that is definitely real, you know, from angels to spirits to demons to people that are just passing through, you know, and that's what we have to realize, is that we're still discovering things about our past, guys. We still haven't even fully explored our oceans. So as far as the capabilities of what's going on and what has been happening here on the planet before we're the modern iteration of what's going on, we truly have to understand that. What I'm trying to say is be open to a lot of different possibilities. Understand what's going on. We are still trying to understand what exactly is going on because we don't know. Because we're still trying to figure these things out. You see. And that's why we have to do episodes like this, is to show people that you're not by yourself, that you're more than able to tell these types of things, to get these types of things across. You see. Because people don't know that other things like these are occurring. So, moving on to the next story. And this comes from an account named Seth. Huh. I don't know why I was having a hard time with that. Seth. I was raised in a southern church in New Orleans. I saw ghosts occasionally, and I would run for my life and do the theatrical hide under the cover. I started hearing voices. I saw lights in the sky with my parents. That's they weren't even stars or planes, you name it. You see, when I was 5 to 6, my mom and dad lost their keys. I hid them in the closet because they were yelling, and asked God where they could be. An extremely soft voice said, "Washing machine." Of course, there it was. Now to the good stuff. My parents split at the age of 9, and mom moved to California. Inevitably, I moved with her, and at 13, one of my closest friend's little sisters, who felt like mine, passed away. She was 19 years old, and she died of cancer. That night, at home in my kitchen, all my kids, their remote control cars, all moved towards me. Roughly 5 cars. I acknowledged the spirit as my sister who passed, and asked if this was a final goodbye, and a single car moved toward me. When me and my wife returned to our bedroom, we were watching TV. After an hour, our entire bookshelf of DVDs came crashing down. And now, for the really scary story. He says, one night, I was laying awake pretty late, around 4:30. He says, abruptly, I felt an intense pressure on my body. I tried to move. No go. I tried to scream. No go. In my mind, I prayed to God, help me get away from this. Then I said unwillingly, in the deepest voice I have ever heard, to this day, there is no God. Crying for my life, I jumped and woke up my mom from one of her Bibles and said, read it. Read it till I fell asleep. And says, swear on my 2 children this happened. So with what I got with Seth's stories is that, I don't want to say he's plagued, or this is someone that is sensitive. This is someone that has been obviously involved and been witness to the paranormal things that have been going on for years. Not only to him, but around him. And you see, that's what we have to really start looking at, is there are people who have these extrasensory capabilities, who have this understanding, who have this knowing of what's really going on, who can see with the second sight, who understand what's really going on, who can see and feel in levels that we can't even comprehend. Am I saying that Seth could be one of these people? Or could I say that he is exhibiting some of the traits that other people do have? So let's move on to another story where we talk about things like deja vu. You see, and this story comes from Nathan Art. He says, deja vu, like seriously. I have experienced deja vu so many times, it's scary. And also, my sleepwalking. Like one night, my parents told me I was trying to get out of the house. They said, and I was going, they said I was opening up the gate. My mom called me and said, what are you doing? I said to my mom, I don't know, but I don't remember saying that. And when I got into the house, I was trying to get out again. But this time, through the back door, I was trying to open the gate again. And this time, my mom got me out of my bed, put a Bible on my chest. But the scariest thing is while I was asleep, my eyes were completely shut. And sometimes in the middle of the night, my mom said to me, my right hands and sometimes both of my hands were pointing to the ceilings. And sometimes my parents said to me that I was trying to write or scratch something in midair. Maybe because I'm an artist, but I don't know. I usually experience sleepwalking when I'm sick, or after watching a horror movie, or maybe because my house is haunted. Almost 3 people said the exact same thing when they said they saw a ghost the ghost of a woman with long dark hair and a white dress, and the scariest thing is, the same is that the three people who saw the ghost were strangers to one another, and the one person is living in the front of my house, but not anymore. The other was my brother's girlfriend, and the other is my doctor, who lives nearby in his own house. I have so many experiences, I don't know if I'll be able to tell them all. And that is a little bit strange. That is strange. That is wild. Coming into contact with entities, little girl demons, that is beyond me. That is scary. That is definitely scary. There's something about child ghosts, child entities, child spirits that just, it really gets me. It puts goosebumps on my body, and I can't deal with it. I can't deal with it. Here's another story, and this is Gwyn the Prince. He says, sitting in the basement years ago, the room got freezing. All of a sudden, I saw a few shadow people in my peripheral vision. I stood up and told them to leave. They were not welcome, and they left instantly. Also, recently, my middle daughter was at a supermarket with her mom when she stopped and waved her hand at a big hanging light up in the ceiling. It started moving and matching her hand motions. Plus, lots more. So one of the things I'm trying to capture by doing these types of videos or doing this type of episode is to show you guys that indeed, whether we like it or not, or whether you're able to see it, there are some very strange things occurring. As people have said before, the paranormal is normal. These things that we are starting to see, that's going on, or the larger encounters that are happening to people, are happening at a wider basis and in such straight weird ways. It's crazy. This is crazy. You see, we talked about people vibrating with UFOs at the start of the show, astral projecting into actual UFOs, and that's a whole show in itself, trying to, you know, get the concept of that. We're talking about people who have come into contact with gorillas and lions and all kinds of other creatures that could, if anything, be interpretations of actual spirits that people are seeing. You see, could that have been the Lion of Judah? Could that have been God protecting that man's kids? Could that have been a manifestation of some kind? More and more of these things are occurring. You see, and it's because, if you ask me, we're living in a time frame, and I've talked about this before on the podcast, and in other videos as well, we're living in a time frame to where the veil is a lot thinner than most people would expect. I mean, everybody expects just for October to be the only time that paranormal things can occur. I can assure you that that is most certainly not the case, because every day, strange things are occurring. 2016 was a plethora of weird. You see, I posted today about how a doll had come into contact, how this little girl could be being plagued or could be being visited. You know, a doll that was in her playing area, it moved briefly while she was playing with it. And then in another clip with the daughter or this child, you see her coloring on the table, and then suddenly the papers where she's coloring, it's just blown up like there's wind that's gone across it, and she's standing in a room by herself. It's so weird. It's so weird. But the point I'm trying to make is that these things are occurring. I mean, all the things that happened back in 2016, they didn't just stop. They didn't just stop occurring. If anything, they've carried over into this year, and they're about to transform. And you are correct, Danny. I'll be talking about this as well in other episodes. But there are also soft spots where the veil is thinner. Many are placed in Texas. He's right. Many of them are actually in Texas. There are some in New Mexico as well, like the San Luis Valley. They're paranormal vortexes. I consider them paranormal vortexes. Places where, if anything, and this is where you have to look at things like the electrical grid. I forget what it's called right now. The magnetic ley lines. The ley lines of the planet and how they're the grid in the planet. Some of them actually lay on points in which all of the energy converges. And so there's the point I'm trying to make without sounding so fantastical is that, yes, Danny is correct. There are paranormal vortexes. There are paranormal hubs where you can actually, if anything, see these Stargate points, these portal points, however you want to look at it. These types of things occur all over the place. And in future episodes, I'll actually be doing, if not in this series, but with Lori or, you know, in whatever, but I'll actually be going over some of my own experiences that I've had doing paranormal studies, paranormal researches and investigations, and some of the experiences that I've had, because as I just mentioned before, with the San Luis Valley, you know, and Skinwalker Ranch and all the other things that are going on here. I mean, we're out here in my undisclosed location of New Mexico. You know, there's even here, I'm able to see some of the strange things that are going on. I mean, from the UFOs to the strange encounters to people, you know, being possessed, there's all kinds of strange stuff going on. So for us to say that this is only happening here in America, or that this is only happening in South America and things like that, that's very closed-minded and bigoted. There are experiences and things that happen across the board. The only thing is that we talk about them here as if they're taboo. We've somehow separated ourselves from the source. We've separated ourselves from the paranormal, from what is considered unknown. And instead, it's become fear-mongered. You see, so whenever we have people who are sending in their stories like Salvador Poetry, whenever we have them sending in their stories saying how they've come into contact with orbs, spirits, angelic spirits, demons, and ETs and all these other things, it's because, yes, you know, they're living in this paranormal reality, this normal reality, to where you really have to start asking yourself, what is paranormal? What is the supernatural? You know, do you think this person is going to let their fear rule them? Because it gets to a point to where you start to understand that not only are you not what you think you are, but you're capable of so much more. And if that's the case, everyone else is capable of so much more. You're right again, Danny. The Japanese suicide forest. That's another perfect example. I would want to say places like Derinkuyu and other ancient historical sites. But it's just like that, you know. People are able to sense and know these types of things. Stonehenge, you know, there's all kinds of strange UFO sightings that happen around Stonehenge. People, some of the stories that you hear in regards to the Dulce bases, you see, so it's like, what is the paranormal? What is supernatural? You see, what is occult? What is esoteric? What is going on? Because all of these things are happening simultaneously. As, you know, one of the questions we got at the start of the show said, or during the middle of the show asked, why do ghosts show up as your grandmother? Why do they show up as someone familiar, as someone you know, is to let down your guard? But what happens whenever you start entertaining this thing that's always coming back to you? constantly being in communication with you. You see, you yourself are opening up portals. You yourself become a portal. And we all are. And there's nothing wrong with this. And that's why whenever I mentioned one of the comments that we got about how this lady was wanting to have paranormal experiences, wanting to have spiritual episodes, she was unaware of how to do that. She was unaware of even delving into that part of herself simply because of the fear. It's because we've, as I keep trying to say, we've separated ourselves from these things that could be considered totally normal. You see, these are things that have been going on for quite some time. And the only reason this is considered strange is because, like I said, we've separated ourselves from it. I'm sure everyone, even you, the people that are listening right now, I'm sure you've had your own strange experience. I'm sure you've own had your encounter with something that didn't make sense to you. You see. Let me see. Do we have a few more time? Let's see if we have a few more time for another story real quick. I had one story, but that one was a little bit convoluted, a little bit crazy, a little bit all over the place. Talking about how clocks are flying all over the place, but her friend had committed suicide. It was very strange. I'll read this one real quick. Yes, I have. Too many. Regardless, if believed, I'll go to my grave with it. I did, however, get offered 2 plane tickets to give my story around in the round table. Nope. Apparently I didn't message this person about Bud Hopkins, from Bud Hopkins. If interested, I'll share my message privately. And I got a lot of messages privately as well. Let's see, do I have enough time to get on and read one of those messages real quick? Yeah, let me see. And that's it, guys. You know, that's all I can really say. Giant winged humanoid reported in Phoenix. You know, whether or not that was actually a winged humanoid or if that was just 2 palm trees photographed at the perfect time, I'm not entirely sure. But these types of things do happen. I'm not sure how people are able to somehow get some of these things on tape whenever we have people like the Thunder Energies Corporation who are saying that due to their Santelli telescopes and their new lenses, how they're able to see different spectrums of light. But, you know, maybe people are able to capture some of these strange things on their phone camera. You see, and you never know. You never know. Let's see. Yeah. All right. Yeah. We got enough time for this. And this is a private message. This is one you guys can't really go back and see, but it is from Katana XOXO. Okay. And it goes like this. She sent me a picture and it was taken place pretty much near Christmas time, right? The picture is of what seems to be like either her father and her mother standing next to a Christmas tree sitting in a rather festive chair. The idea behind that is when you look at this picture, there is an obvious gray difference at the woman's black dress that she's wearing. You can tell because you can see the different types of folds, and it's weird because it's like somebody literally just put like a gray circle on there, but it's not imposed on there, not like it's superimposed on there. It's real weird. But she sent me this picture and she says, "Look at the mist by her dress. I captured 2 on that day, and it was on New Year's Eve. One orb shot from out the dude's chest. It's a live photo, so I don't know if you can see it." And I told her I can definitely see it, the mist by her dress, but I don't think I can see the one from the guy's chest. Was this in a photo or caught on video? She says, "This is a photo. IG won't let me send the live photo of the orb, and I'll try to get a screenshot of it. But long story short, there's a mist that hangs by my window at night. And it shows up like once a week. And it finally made its way downstairs to the Christmas tree. It's strange. No one has ever died in this house, and I'm the first owner, but I can definitely feel something. A few nights ago, I had sleep paralysis, but I hear someone speak to me, saying, don't wake up. Could you imagine that? Being abruptly woken up, only to have something tell you, you do not need to wake up. You need to go back to sleep. You need to rest easy. And that, if anything, is scary. That is frightening. She's talking about orbs coming from people's chests, surrounding individuals on New Year's Eve. But she's not saying whether or not they're malevolent or benevolent. You see? And these types of things are going on every day, and they're happening more and more so because not only are we becoming aware, but more of these energies and entities are coming in to our realm, and it's interesting, and we have got to start talking about them. Otherwise, none of this will make sense. We won't know our authority. We won't know what we're capable of doing. We won't even know how we're even able to combat this. Some people are already finding out that fear is clearly not the way, and that strength is. There are many stories in Texas of a winged bat creature around rural lakes in East Texas. Dark mist or black mist would be a demon or a dark spirit attached to them or something they own. Not the place, not the home, but something that they own. And I've talked about that before, Danny, the idea that you could imbue heavenly energies, otherworldly energies, into objects. And that's a very real practice. It is a very real practice, and people can be afflicted, cursed, and all kinds of other things going on. But that's all I really have for you guys right now. Talk about a wild episode. Like I said, this was only volume one, and I still have so many more stories to get to. It's wild. I could talk about these types of things for days, but I just wanted to get the ball rolling so we understood that no, you're not alone in understanding these things. You're not alone in experiencing these things, and that you're not crazy. These things are going on. You can talk about these types of things. And the only way to understand truly what is happening and what will happen is if we start conceptualizing them, trying to understand them. I'm not saying go grab a Ouija board and start coming into contact with whatever reaches out to you. Please, dear God, do not do that. But if you do, send us a video so we'll play it. But do not do that, okay? What I am telling you is to know discernment. Pray for your protection. Know your power, know your authority. If you do want to know what you're capable of, don't just throw yourself out there in the deep end. Incrementally go about these types of things. Be aware of what energies you're having come into your world. You see, there's only so many different things that we can allow ourselves to be susceptible for or susceptible to. And as they always say, if you stare into the abyss stares back into you. But that's all I really got for you guys. If you have any questions, feel free to email me. Or if you would like to have your story featured on the Paranormal Perspective Volume 2, let me know. Hit us up with our email and we'll try to get you guys on the episode. But like I said, that's all I really got for you guys. If you have any questions, feel free to email me. I'll have it in the description bar below. And as always, guys, stay vigilant, expose lies, and share truth. This is Noisera, Freedom Faction, out.